Good morning and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. Today we are gathered to say goodbye to our dear sister in Christ, Marlene Kari. Marlene was a beloved and faithful member of this congregation, a beloved and faithful wife to Norman, a friend to so many in this community. And as we gather today, we gather in hope. We gather in joy, even in the midst of our grief, because we know what our Lord Jesus has done for us. We know that he's destroyed the power of death. We know that we will live forever and we will see Marlene again. And so that is going to be our focus in the service today. Hopefully you all were able to grab one of these yellow colored bulletins on your way into the sanctuary today. Everything that you'll need for our funeral liturgy is printed for you there, except for the words to the hymns. For that, you will need this burgundy colored hymnal, which is in front of you in your pew. And we are going to begin with our opening hymn, which is number 461. I know that my Redeemer lives. You may be seated. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, Marlene was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all her sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." We now continue our service as we recite together the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Marlene and to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. Our Old Testament reading today comes to us from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 through 4, and then proceeding on to verse 10. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, And as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our epistle reading today comes from St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. If we have died with Christ, we shall also live with him. If we are faithful to the end, we shall reign with him. Our holy gospel reading today is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means Jesus, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And at this time, we will now continue our service by speaking the words of our Christian faith, the same words that Marlene confessed along with us numerous times. This morning, we will confess the Apostles' Creed. We confess together, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." You may be seated. Our next hymn is number 748, "I'm But a Stranger Here." To the family and friends of Marlene Kari, to those of you who are gathered here today to celebrate her long life of faith, as well as to mourn its earthly end, especially to you, Norman, Marlene's beloved husband and faithful companion for over 65 years. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. They say that nothing in the world tastes better than the food that you have grown yourself. It's somewhat of a universal opinion that if you have the knowledge, skills, the ability to do the work, to work the ground and plant the seeds and then water those sprouts when they come up, of course, take care of the weeds and the pests, but all with the goal of harvesting the fruit. If you can do all of those things, then when it comes time to enjoy the fruit of your labor, it's going to be a much more joyful and satisfying experience than you would have if you were to just simply go to the store and purchase some produce that somebody else had really worked hard to make happen. That means that there is a special kind of joy, a unique kind of joy that a gardener has that people who don't spend their time gardening can't quite understand in the same way. Our dear sister in Christ, Marlene, felt that kind of unique and special joy multiple times throughout her life. She was, as many of you know, considered a master gardener, and that was an official title that she earned because she committed to taking a series of classes years ago. And among other things, what that allowed her to do was take this hobby that she spent so much time on and she enjoyed so much, and she was given all these opportunities as a master gardener to share that hobby with others, to bring joy to others and not just keep it all to herself. And so there were all these times when she'd be out in the garden year after year and season after season making things grow and then taking what had grown and bringing it to the plant swaps that happened over the years, or simply just taking some of the fruits of her labor and sharing them with different friends and neighbors around her. It seems like she really enjoyed watching things grow. And that extends beyond just the garden, too. Marlene was able to see lots of things grow in her life, and I would say especially the relationships that she had with other people. Think about all of these times that she would go for the holidays and spend time in Litchfield, and she'd spend time thinking about all of her extended family and asking about them, and there's probably no greater example than what she and you, Norman, grew together in your home, in your marriage, right? Watching that relationship grow has been a blessing to so many of us around here. When it's all said and done, just like out in the garden, you look back on all of that hard work, there is a very special and unique kind of joy that only the gardeners, only the ones who have worked on it, can really understand and appreciate. And so that's our prayer for you today, Norman, that you're able to look back on all of these amazing years and all of these memories that you had with Marlene, and even in the midst of your grief, that you are filled with an abundant joy as we all think about the blessing that Marlene was in your life. You know, gardening is something that our Lord knows a lot about too. There's so many places in the Bible, important moments that take place in gardens. And if you really think about it, our Lord has been the master gardener since the very beginning of all creation. Think about how it all begins with the gardener's joy, the gardener's special and unique joy at the very beginning, on the sixth day of creation, in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, when God takes Adam and Eve, and with joy places them in a garden, in the Garden of Eden. where Adam and Eve get to experience perfect harmony in that time before sin and death came into the world. It's an innocent kind of joy that Adam and Eve experienced, which people like us can only dream about. But, of course, after the fall, after everything changed in that garden, God made a really important promise to all of us, that he would send a Savior, that he would send his Son. And so we fast forward many, many, many years later, and there's another garden that becomes really important in the Bible. And that would be the Garden of Gethsemane, where our Lord Jesus Christ spends the night in prayer before he's arrested, before he's crucified the next day. That's a garden that we're going to be thinking a lot more about in these next coming weeks before our celebration of Holy Week and Easter. It's hard for us to imagine that there was much of that special, unique gardener's joy present in that Garden of Gethsemane that night. I mean, one of the hymns that we sing at this time of the year is "Go to Dark Gethsemane." And one of the reasons why we call Gethsemane dark is because we know what kind of anguish our Lord was in that night. We know how frustrating it was that the disciples couldn't just stay awake for 1 hour to be with our Lord in his time of need. And yet, even in that dark moment, in that dark garden, we still see joy peeking through the darkness. In fact, we're reminded of that in Hebrews chapter 12, where it tells us that it was for the joy that was set before him that Jesus endured the cross, despising its shame. It was joy that placed Jesus upon the cross. It was joy in the face of death. Joy over you, joy over me, joy over Marlene too. And that's what leads us then to the gospel reading that we just heard today from John chapter 20. What an amazing moment this is when the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ appears in person to Mary Magdalene in a garden right by his empty tomb early in the morning on that very first Easter Sunday. And in this passage, you can just hear the joy jumping off of the page. Can you imagine that complete turnaround? 1 minute, Mary Magdalene thinks that her Savior is dead, and not only dead, but she thinks somebody has probably stolen his body. The next minute, there he is. He's standing right in front of her. They're speaking face to face. She's clinging to him. She never wants to let go. This is the kind of gardener's joy that I'm talking about. God the Father, as the true master gardener, has been working all these years, working his plan of salvation. And then on Easter Sunday, with the resurrection of Jesus, there we finally have the blessed fruit of all of that hard work. But the master gardener does in that moment what master gardeners do best. He doesn't keep all of that joy just to himself. He shares it. He shares it with his friends. He shares it with his neighbors, right? It starts with Mary Magdalene here, and then it proceeds on to the disciples and, of course, to all of us. This is an amazing picture of the love that Jesus has for Mary, for you and me, for Marlene too. The other day, when I had learned that Marlene had passed away, I decided to take a look and see what was in her membership file that we have here at church, just to kind of see what might be in there and what might have been collected over the years. And as you would expect, it was full of pictures of her with her plants, various plant swaps, right? Little clips from the newspaper that had different events that she participated in. There was one of those newspaper clippings that really caught my attention, and it was not actually because of the picture itself. It was because of the caption that was underneath the picture. For whatever reason, they decided for this picture, they were going to put the motto, the Master Gardener motto. And it's simply this: we come from the earth, we return to the earth, and in between, we garden. And I love that. I absolutely love that. What an amazing statement that is. I Googled it. The original quote comes from an English poet, and his name was Alfred Austin. But to me, that quote, we come from the earth, we return to the earth, in between we garden, that's a really accurate description of the difference that the resurrection of Jesus makes in our lives. Jesus Christ has destroyed the power of death forever, and yet we know that one day we will return to the earth. We know that just in a few moments we're going to be laying our sister Marlene's remains in the ground. We know those things, but Easter, in the meantime, is what gives us the ability to garden. Easter is what gives us the freedom for us to grow, but then also to work and to share the fruits of his labor within us. And what are those fruits? I can think of nothing better than the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the kinds of things that we all witnessed in our interactions with Marlene over the years. The fruit of the Spirit was on display in her life. And it's all because of what her Lord first accomplished for her on the cross, and more importantly, at the empty garden tomb. And yes, just like every gardener in this imperfect world, there are times when we have to struggle. And there are times when we put a lot of work in and things just don't turn out the way that we want them to. But if you look at the top of the bulletin today, you're going to see Marlene's confirmation verse is there printed at the top. It comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. And it starts out by saying, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called." She certainly did that. She certainly fought the good fight. And I'm not just talking about fighting the good fight against weeds and pests, which she did know something about, but fighting the good fight of faith against the brokenness of this world. And yeah, we watched. These last few months, Marlene did struggle with some health concerns, and she wasn't able to get out of the house much. These last few weeks were kind of a whirlwind. You know, moving into the hospital and then into the nursing home, it was pretty overwhelming there. But see, that's why the last garden that the Bible mentions is the most important and the most comforting of all. Last Wednesday, Jesus fulfilled his baptismal promises to Marlene by calling her name and calling her into the garden of paradise, transplanting her out of this world of sin and placing her in his garden, where she will thrive with his love and his grace for all eternity. This is the same Jesus who called Mary Magdalene's name in that garden by the tomb. He called Marlene's name. And can you imagine the joy that she experienced in that moment? The utter joy. The kind of joy that really only a master gardener can appreciate. A gardener, like I said, can enjoy the fruits of their labor in a way that nobody else can. But what's even better than our labor is the hard work that God has already done for us. The results of the hard work of Jesus. His perfect sacrifice is what covers over you and me with his perfect righteousness, with his eternal salvation. Marlene spent a lot of hours doing a lot of hard work in her life, but thanks be to God, she is now at rest from her labors. Thanks be to God, she no longer has to be the master gardener because now she is the fruit. And what a blessing that is. Her soul is in God's garden. And by his grace, she will remain where she always loved to be, in the garden with Jesus. In his most holy and precious name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace, Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy. Give to the family of Marlene Kari and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church, they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope, and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our thanks for Marlene, and for all the blessings you bestowed on her in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with her we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection, he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord, and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant to you his peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace in the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn will be number 801, How Great Thou Art.